This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Ricky Wimmer.
What's up, guys?
And a sick Dave Oster.
Hey, everybody.
Dave, sounding a little bit groggy. We're going to get through this, though. We have a great podcast for you. We got two NBA draft topics, two patrons on the show, and we're also going to be doing our the famed segment of Wet Boys. We're super excited for it. Before we jump into the topics, though, we do want to let you know, check out patreon.com/mostvalualpodcast. If you do want to be like Will and Jake, who are going to be on this podcast, head over to patreon.com/mostvalualpodcast and check out that $10 tier. If not, we do have a $5 tier. We have a $2 tier. We get a monthly Patreon podcast. We got some great stuff over there, so definitely go check it out. Also, don't forget to check out mostvalualpodcast.com. You can also find our shop on there, so if you want to rock some MVP merch, that's where you can find it and get some sweet swag over there. And also, if you're listening on iTunes, don't forget to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Both the Onside Kick, or not both, the Onside Kick, the Primetime Podcast, the Rick and Johnny Podcast, and the Fast Break Podcast. It means a ton to us. We've been having a great couple months, and we need you to keep it going. We appreciate all of your help out there. But boys, let's jump into Wet Boys. First, we're going to be talking about the soggiest of shooters. We're going to be talking about the dampest of dudes. We're going to be talking about the moistest of men. We are talking about Wet Boys, guys who absolutely popped off over the last week in the playoffs, guys who had crazy stat lines, guys who had historic performances, guys who had gritty performances. We're going to go through them and give them the honors they deserve. Ricky, start us off.
I'll be completely honest. I didn't know who to give my Wet Boy to.
Like, you changed it like 5 times.
Part of me wanted to, first I was like, okay, JT is my guy. Then I looked at it and I went, there are guys that had better weeks. And I'm like, you know what? Iggy is my boy. He had one good game and he's the reason, him not being there, but no, I couldn't. I settled on CP3. That's eventually where I'm getting to. And the reason being is, yeah, Andre Iguodala has been part of the reason why the Warriors have struggled a little bit against the Rockets. But Chris Paul is playing up. He wants to get to the NBA Finals for the first time in his career. Doesn't matter if James Harden goes 0 for 11 from 3. Like James Harden says, doesn't matter. We won the game. And CP3 is a big reason why. And he's a Wet Boy this week.
All right. Dave, give us your Wet Boy of the Week.
Literally the wettest boy in the NBA is Steph Curry. Like, there's not a shot that this boy can't make. I'm just saying.
He's open as soon as he gets in the parking lot.
You said wettest boys. I mean, come on.
We did say soggy shooters.
Yeah, he is the soggiest of shooters. He's the dampest of dudes. 28 a night, 6 boards, 3 assists, shooting 47% and 39% respectively. I know they have lost 2 games. Mm-hmm. I know. But still, you have to admit, when he is on that court, there's just not a shot he can't make.
They were close games, too. It's not like they got blown out.
He was plus 10 in one of the losses.
Like, it's not about the losses. I mean, you're going up against, you know, it's the 4 best teams in the NBA right now. So, I mean, if you're going to lose games, it's not crazy.
Exactly.
And he's coming off of the injury. But is he the wettest boy in the NBA? No, it's LeBron James. Come on. Mm. Wet Boy of the Year and coming out in the past four games, 3-1, helping the Cavs, carrying the Cavs, going to a game 7. LeBron, 36 points per game over those 4 games, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 56% from the field, and 50% from 3 over 4 games. LeBron has been dominant. LeBron now is now the 3rd player in NBA history to have 7-plus games of 40-plus points in the same postseason. Jerry West did it in 1965, Jordan did it in 1989, and LeBron just did it this year. And here's the fun note. Jerry and Jordan were 26 at the time. LeBron James doing it at 33 years old. Crazy performances so far from LeBron James. And also, you know, we're talking about him being open, you know, Steph Curry being open, hitting every single shot. Let's look at those step back threes back to back right in the face of Jason Tatum, the guy that you were looking for, your Wet Boy. LeBron knocking down some big shots. LeBron was disgusting last night. It was last night, right?
Yeah, last night.
Literally, feels like forever.
The best part about those step back threes was not the three itself. It was the face. It was the LeBron.
The mean mugging face, though.
Mean
mugging
face.
Yeah, good old LeBron.
He's gone mean mugging.
And he will definitely be a Wet Boy if they win game 7 and he goes to the NBA Finals.
My only question for that is, like, LeBron, great performances this week, but the thing, and this is a separate Wet Boy thing, they gotta win in Boston. Like, this team cannot be like, oh, we're gonna play great at home and then not show up for LeBron on the road.
I understand what you're saying, but I also want to say, no shit, it's game 7.
Well, yeah, no.
If they don't show up, they're losing. It's done. It's like, the series is over.
When are you gonna do it? The clock's ticking.
Yeah. I think they
the
know
fat
that.
Lady is she's warming up the vocal cords.
She's singing for somebody. Yeah. Make sure she's singing for the other team. But anyways, let us know your wet boy of the week. Are you going to go with Ricky? Are you going to go with CP3? Are you going to go with Dave? Are you going to go with Steph Curry? Are you going to go with the right choice in the wet boy of the year in LeBron James? Let us know down in the comments down below. But let's jump into the second topic, and we're going to welcome in our patron, Bill, not Will. Legal stuff, legal name as well. But we're going to welcome in our buddy, Bill. Small world, too. A local guy, apparently. It's awesome to hear. But we're going to be talking about something not too local. We're going to be talking about the Clippers, and they are looking up to trade in the draft, and they have interest in Michael Porter Jr. So, Bill, we're going to go to you first. Should the Clippers trade up to get Michael Porter Jr. in the NBA draft?
Well, I mean, definitely the Clippers have to trade up to get MPJ because they lack that superstar. I mean, they lost CP3. Blake Griffin obviously was traded out, and DeAndre Jordan might walk in free agency. And even if DeAndre Jordan stays, not too much of a game changer on the offensive way that they would need to string along some nice wins. So I think the Clippers should definitely package their two picks and, maybe throw in a player or two to trade up to get MPJ because they need that. They need the star power. I mean, it's LA. You lost CP3. It's kind of a risky pick to trade up to get him. But I mean, if you're picking at 12, 13, who are you going to have anyway? Robert Williams will be available. Maybe Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Some nice pieces, but, not necessarily the one of those people could take you to the next level. And, in trading away Blake Griffin and getting some stuff back for it, do you want two role players or do you want that superstar that you thought Blake could be,
And Bill, one thing I do want to bring up, because people have heard us talk about, the NBA draft ad nauseum. They know our thoughts on the prospects. Where do you have MPJ, in these, class of prospects? Is he your number one guy like some people have him? Is he in your top five? Where do you think his top end is and where do you think he compares to the rest of the prospects in this draft class?
It's so hard to evaluate. Well, like anybody, it's hard to predict where anybody's going to be 3, 4, 5 years from now, and him especially because of the back injury. It's not like it was a broken arm or, stuff like that. That's a back injury that could creep up on you, 6 years down the line. It could cut a career short. So talent-wise, I'd have MPJ in the top three, but you could have that risk because of the back injury. But personally, do I think that that's something that's going to hinder him in his career? I'd say no, unless, you start getting into the mid-30s. I think MPJ will be a solid player for, the next 10 or 12 years, personally. But it's a risk because of that back injury and because we didn't get to see him play against the competition of the college level. We got to see him dominate 16 and 17-year-olds in high school, but didn't necessarily get to see him do that at the college level. And when he did play, it was him at, 65%? He was playing at the couple tournament games that he was in. So, but I definitely think talent-wise, Michael Porter Jr. is a game changer, is somebody that can put a team on his back and carry them and just be the superstar that, Blake Griffin kind of was. So, I think he's definitely on that level.
Well, and Ricky, one thing that you've brought up for sure is the Clippers packaging this to get a Kawhi Leonard. So when you heard that they might be looking into getting a Michael Porter Jr., what was your reaction? Are you with Will that they should trade up and try to get that superstar?
I am all for it. And to me, I actually, this week, kind of in my head, concocted a trade. And for me, if I am the Clippers, I am targeting that number four pick because I don't think the Kings go with Michael Porter Jr. I don't think the Hawks are going to do it. Don't think the Suns are going to do it. I think it's going to be at that number four pick. And kind of the trade that I worked out for it was I'm going to give for just the fourth overall pick. I'll give you the 12th, the 13th. And then because I think the Grizzlies will want a little something extra, I am going to go ahead and give you the pick from either 2019 or 2020 because they have a draft pick in the first round for that. But it all depends on, it is lottery protected. But, hey, we just missed the playoffs. I'm not looking to be in the lottery, so I'm not going to have this pick next year anyways. And fuck it, you can have it in 2020.
Be careful throwing trades out there because people are telling us to stop throwing out trades because we don't know what a third trade is.
We'll never stop.
I think that's a good – and I'm trying to look exactly at the provisions of it. Yeah, so that's it. So their 2019 pick is if they're between 1 and 14, so in the lottery, they own it. anywhere else, it goes to Boston.
But if this is the Clippers pick, they can't trade 12 and 13 back-to-back. Yeah. So they can't do 2018, 2019, do the Steffi
and then you do maybe like either back-to-back 12 and 13, or you do one of these and next year.
But you're on the side of them trading up. Yeah. Dave, are you on the side of Bill and Ricky that they should trade up and get a guy like Michael Porter Jr.? Because again, like Bill brought up, he does have the back issues, but even coming in the season, he was my number one prospect. Are you in the line that he can be a superstar and that the Clippers should trade away this capital they got in that Blake Griffin trade and try to move up and get a superstar?
Yeah, I think that they got some decent pieces in the meantime, but if you can go ahead and pull the trigger to get someone who you think can be your future, you know, your decade-plus player and your star, absolutely pull the trigger on that. That's fantastic for them. I'm just concerned with what team you try to make the trade with, because you hear all these rumors about certain teams targeting certain players. You know, could he go as high as 2? Could he go 3, 4? I don't know where that target is. So like the price value on that might change a lot if you have to go all the way up to 2 to jump Atlanta.
Well, especially with all these teams being terrible. I mean, all these teams were tanking. I mean, you even hear Cuban coming out saying they were tanking. The Bulls clearly tanking. They only got ended up being around the 7th, at least in the lottery standpoint. So I mean, it'd be tough for any of these teams to really move back after the terrible seasons they've had. So again, they're going to really need to sweeten the pot. You know, Bill, you mentioned superstar, and is Michael Porter Jr. the only guy that you would look to target for the Clippers? Are there any other pieces? You know, say Michael Porter Jr. goes at 2, and the asking price is too high. Is there any other guys like Luka Doncic, Triple J? Are there any of the guys in that top 5 area that you think could be a nice addition to this Clipper team and help them give that superstar that you think they need?
Yes, but not worth trading up for.
Okay.
So I think if Luka falls to 4, would he be a hell of a player to add? Yeah, but he doesn't. I don't think he could demand. I think he's the safest player in this whole draft. Would be somebody like Luka. But would I package the 12 and 13? It's 12 and 13 that the Clippers have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would I package that for a Marvin Bagley? No. Would I package that for Jaren Jackson Jr.? No. So, yeah, I think there's other stars to be had in this draft, but I think Michael Porter Jr. is one of those players that, I mean, we all saw him at the high school level. I mean, he could put a team on his back and just completely dominate the game. And I didn't see that from any of the other, what we call, quote-unquote, stars that are out there. That would be at least worth of trading up to lottery picks 4. I still think that there are great players that you can get, because, I mean, you could get Kevin Knox at that 12-13. He's got the potential to maybe creep up onto that, you know, all-star level potentially. So to pass up on 2 chances at somebody like that, say you get like a Shea and a Kevin Knox or a Shea and a Robert Williams, I think that would be a lot better to build your team around than, you know, trading up for a Marvin Bagley. He's got those defensive question marks and all that other stuff too, without being the type of dominant player that a Michael Porter Jr.
And that's a big thing with me, too, is I'm hesitant to say they need to trade up. Because, yes, if you love a player,
well,
you should totally
need to.
Well, but again, if you're going for Michael Porter Jr., you're going to need to trade up to get a Michael Porter Jr. He's not going to be there at 12 and 13. Right. So, again, I'm always in the mindset, if you love a player, you should definitely go after him. But maybe this isn't the right choice. Because, again, we mentioned this. This is a team that almost made the playoffs. We're dealing with a ton of injuries, both point guards, Pat Bev, and good old
Milos
were injured this year. Yes, they were dealing with Blake for a couple of years, but even when Blake was out, this team was still, you know, very productive. They just got Lugo to a great team-friendly contract. So I am kind of in the bank where I'm not looking to trade up. And this was even for the Kawhi thing. This is where a point where you have the ability to take 2 prospects and 2 kids in one of the deepest draft classes, and these guys can be cornerstones for your future for after this year. Again, Bill mentioned it. Shai Gilgeous would fill that future point guard spot. 6'6", has a ton of talent, and even Kevin Knox. If you go with the 2 Kentucky kids, these guys might be cornerstones for your franchise, and yes, it might not be a star, but also they have cap. If you're not bringing back DeAndre Jordan and he declines his option, that's $22 million free right there. You look at Danilo Gallinari's contract. If you're able to move that, again, you're able to get more, freedom to bring in a guy like Paul George if you think he's a superstar. We mentioned LeBron wanting to go to L.A. You know, if that's a possibility, why not explore that? Here, then, you know, try to risk going up in the draft and missing out on getting 2 chances at a prospect like Shai Gilgeous and Kevin Knox. That's at least where I'm on the boat here.
If this was mostly any other team in the league, I would say, I don't know. But because of who is now almost calling the shots here, in Jerry West,
seem like a Jerry West move.
But what I'm going at is look at the draft classes that he's had and the draft picks that he's had with the Warriors. To me, I look at it almost like, and I'm going to throw a team that I'm worried about now because of this, because I cheer for them, the Bulls. I feel like just because the Clippers are in the thought of doing this, if I'm a team like the Bulls who it's the fan base wants Michael Porter Jr., I would almost be like, well, if Jerry likes him, then he must be good. There must not be injury questions because Jerry knows what he's doing, and West usually doesn't miss on the draft pick. So, like, for me, if I'm another team like the Bulls, like you say, who needs to now? Well, if the Clippers are going to have a serious chance of moving up, the Bulls then I would see as a team that would have to move up because the top two on my board, MPJ will be gone, Bamba will be gone. You got to get one of them.
Well, Bill, I'm assuming here that you are a Bulls fan just because you are from Chicago. You mentioned that you wanted to support Chicago guys. So if you are a Bulls fan, would you be nervous because, you know, there's a lot of talk about MPJ becoming a Chicago Bull, putting on that next jersey. Would you be nervous about the Clippers moving up? And then would that possibly incline you to move up and try to get Michael Porter Jr. if you think, again, he could be the next superstar?
Would I be nervous about the Clippers moving up to get him?
Yeah. if you were the Chicago Bulls.
So, I definitely would be nervous about the Clippers moving up to get him just because there's definitely some interest there. And, I mean, he's a game changer. Going off that, would I want the Bulls to move up from 7? No, because I don't, because, you know, people are going to ask for marketing. People are going to ask for a done. People are going to ask for, you know, maybe future picks from us or to package that 7 and 22 just to go up to 5 or 4. You know, I think there's good players to be had at 7. I am personally a big fan of Wendell Carter Jr., even over a Bamba or even almost over a DeAndre 8. I'm a huge, huge fan of Wendell Carter because if you look at his per 36 minutes, I mean, I think it's like something like 20 and 12, or I could be wrong, but I think his per 36 minute stats are pretty, pretty remarkable for playing next to Bagley as being the second option down low. So I don't think that the Bulls, if MPJ is not there, or if he's going to be, if we need to trade up to get him, I say don't do it because, again, there's definitely, this is a deep draft class, and there's definitely a good player that we could get with the Pelicans pick. And to think that next year, I don't think, you know, no matter who we get, unless we land a big free agent star like a Paul George or something like that, I don't see the Bulls being a playoff team again next year. And next year, there's some top talent at the top of that, at the top of the class next year. And if the Bulls are in the lottery, you know, there's another chance for you to get one of those superstars. So I wouldn't trade up for him because of the injury. If he falls to you at 7, take him without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But because of the injury, don't risk a future asset or a cornerstone of your franchise now to move up to get him. Just because I do not foresee the Bulls in the playoffs next year unless they have a top star free agent that they add to the roster. Because, I mean, you're throwing out there, you know, Nwaba, Justin Holiday, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine. I mean, you know, that's great and all, and they're young, but they're not making the playoffs.
Well, just to back you up with the per 40 minutes, too, for Wendell Carter, 20 points per 40, 13.5 rebounds, and then also 3.1 blocks, shooting 56% from the field and 41% from three. Yeah. So, again, I mean, his per 40, especially like you mentioned, with having Bagley, Gary Trent Jr., and Grayson Allen out on the floor with him, impressive numbers, and also, again, a smart kid, too. I think he was getting recruited by Harvard. So not only can he do it on the basketball court, he's also a smart kid. Dave, are you in the same boat as Bill is where, you know, again, maybe the Bulls shouldn't be trading up for Wendell Carter because you're in a sweet spot right now and there isn't a certainty in, you know, Michael Porter Jr.'s back. And then also there isn't a certainty that if you draft Michael Porter Jr., you're going to be good. So then you might, you know, be giving up a great draft pick to move up and not get a guy that's going to change your team next year.
I think a lot of it comes down to how much do you really believe in him? Because if you're not comfortable with waiting to see what drops to you, which is the position both the Bulls and the Clippers are in right now, like you're rolling the dice. You're saying that, you know what, I feel comfortable in one of these three guys, one of these four guys, whatever it may be. And that kind of, to me, it depends on the draft class. It depends on your scouting. Like, as a Clippers fan, you're far down. You're at 12, 13. But like you guys said, you talked up West and like the history he has in the draft and the success he's found, not, you know, right at the top. So, you know what? I'm very comfortable with them holding onto those picks. But with the Bulls, I've got some questions. We've missed on a lot of draft picks. We've missed on a lot of draft picks. So I think that if you're going all in on this guy, that feels to me like a typical Bulls move, that you're going to trade away the future. But again, the future is only like, It really depends. Like, if you can land a guy who's going to be a player on your team for the next 10 years, it's worth the next two number one picks from your team.
And that's exactly it. And I think the thing that the greater thing is this kind of news about the Clippers wanting to move up is going to shake the draft up, especially on draft day. I see this as a draft day trade of, like, the Grizzlies aren't going to move their pick. Obviously, we talked about that last week, until the draft, until we see, all right, what do the Suns do? Oh, they kept the pick? All right, what do the Kings do? What do the Hawks do? And then it's like, okay, do we trade the pick? And I mean, the Bulls, the last thing I'll say about them, the thing about kind of trading is they promised Chandler Hutchinson a spot at 22,
allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly, but if they did, then they're not going to be able to trade up for four because I'm assuming the Grizzlies would want that pick. I wonder if there's another team out there that is like, we want, like, secretly, they're like, we're not letting anything out, but Michael Porter's on our board. And because of this Clipper news, they're going to streamline a package to try to jump them
Kevin
and
Love
get that
plus
four.
Eight.
Maybe, you think the Cavs?
The concussion king himself.
Well, let's bring it back into the Clippers, yeah, and let's get some predictions, and then we'll move on to the other teams that could possibly be interested in Michael Porter Jr. Bill, we'll go to you first. Will it happen? Will the Los Angeles Clippers take that 12, 13, and then future assets, move up and take Michael Porter Jr., no matter where it was, but in the top five, will they make that move to trade up and get my MPJ?
I'm going to say no.
Fair enough. I mean, it's something that, again, it's a lot of, at least...
It's too hard of a trade to make for... I think the Grizzlies will want too much. And I think personally, if the Grizzlies are going to make a move, I think they might dump a Gasol or a Conley if they get a sweet deal for something like that. I don't think they're going to move away from that four pick for later lottery picks.
Yeah, and I think you look at the Mavericks, too. They're still rebuilding. I would see it's tough for them to trade out, too. I'm on Bill's side because, again, you hear Ryan McDonough come out. They're not trading the one pick, and they wanted to look for veterans. You look at that number two pick, I don't think that's going to be a pick that's going to be moved. I think, really, the top five teams need those picks, and they're going to be going after it. So I'm on Bill's side of they're not going to be trading that pick. Ricky, do you think the Clippers and Jerry West work their magic, though, and end up trading for MPJ?
Yeah, so the trade I'm going to go with is... And you'll have to help me, Sean, if the rules all fit out here.
Well, you can't. So the Clippers can't trade their picks back to back. So they can trade the Detroit pick and their pick next year, but they can't do back to back.
So this is what I'm going to do, and hopefully this works. Trade the 12th overall and the 13th overall, but then virtually I would be trading the 2020 first round pick. So how it would work rule-wise is I'm giving the Grizzlies the 13 and the 12. Next year, it's I keep my first if I'm in the lottery. If I'm the Clippers, I'm not planning to be in the lottery. So I'm expecting that clip to go – or that pick to go to Boston. And then that means in 2020, if it's not settled, that pick will be basically between Boston and Memphis, not between Boston and LA. So Boston will get their pick in 2019. Memphis gets it in 2020.
And why do the Grizzlies take that trade?
Because
there's
getting,
two sides.
You're getting two first rounders this year, and you get a future first as well. And I think that's going to be the big deal is, hey, you know what? And that to Boston was via Memphis. So Memphis was supposed to be in that. So, hey, let's get back in that deal and get that 2020.
Dave, does it happen? Clippers straight up for MPJ.
I'm leaning towards no. I think that if any team has the right pieces, it is the Clippers to move up with Memphis because they do have some good veterans on that team who I think Memphis would want to try to twist and get like Pat Bev and, you know, maybe a swap from Chandler Parsons to Danilo or Toby. Like try to do something like that to add some veterans to this already vet-heavy team so they can roll right back in the playoffs one more year and then add another asset for the future. But I think the Clippers are going to be very safe on their moves for the next 2 years and make sure they line up everything because, like Jake said, next year there's RJ Barrett. There's a deep class, Cam Reddish. There's so many guys in there who you could bring in. So don't just plan for this year. Plan for the future.
One question that I just thought off the top of my head. Let's say the Kings, hypothetically, like I have them slotted with a big man. Let's say they go Mo Bamba. Let's say that the Grizzlies keep their pick. They go with Michael Porter. If the Mavs are there and a Mo Bamba, who we all thought would go there, isn't there, could the Clippers work some magic with the Mavericks? And it's not the Grizzlies they trade with. It's a team like the Mavericks.
But you just said Memphis is going with MPJ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole reason is they'd be going.
Let's say MPJ is off, is still on the board.
Okay, though. Well, that might happen. If they don't have their guy, then Dallas might be that.
Does
team.
This trade necessarily have to be Grizzlies, or will something shake to where a different team is the team?
They're just looking to trade up. Yeah. So if they get the trade they want, then they're trading up to get MPJ. It doesn't matter what the slot is.
Loves to do trades. They love trades.
But let's go back to MPJ, and let's just talk about where he might go. And, Bill, I'm going to go to you. Where do you think he's going to go? Is it Phoenix at one? Do they make a huge shakeup and take a guy who was coming out of high school as the number one player? Sacramento, do they add him to that young team? Atlanta needs a star. We talk about Atlanta, haven't really had a star in a while. Probably even Dominique was the last true star out in Atlanta. You look at Memphis, again, a team that might make the postseason. Adding an MPJ might be the next piece. Dallas is in there. Orlando's in there. Which team do you think ends up taking Michael Porter Jr., kind of looks past the injuries and just looks at the talent? Where do you think Michael Porter Jr. is going to land up?
I think Michael Porter Jr. will definitely either land with Memphis or Chicago. I really don't see Dallas taking him at small forward. They got Harrison Barnes over there. Mm-hmm. I think Dallas is going to go with a big, whether it be Bamba or Bagley, whoever's on the board. I truly think it'll be Memphis or Chicago. I do think, since there's so much talent in this draft, I don't see somebody who's in the top five taking that risk on Porter because of the back injury, because more than half these teams that are in the top five probably will end up somewhere around there next year, again, going off that deep draft class of next year. So I don't think they're going to take that risky pick. I think he'll probably fall to the Bulls, but that might be wishful thinking as well. But, just based off of what the talent is that's on the top of the draft, I mean, Ayton and Doncic are going to go within the top three. And then a lot of people are high on Bagley. I mean, I don't think Triple J is going to drop to six or seven. So, I think it's going to be Memphis or Chicago.
Well, and Bill, I wanted to ask you, I mean, what do you think it will take? I mean, or at least what do you think will need to happen for MPJ to get into the top five? Because, clearly the back is a major injury, but he's coming out saying he's the best player in the draft. He's changed his diet completely. He's toned up a little bit more. He's trying to get into game shape. We haven't seen him, at least at the combine, work out. Do you think it's going to be maybe in private workouts where he makes that jump, or do you even maybe think that one of these teams secretly does have him on their board at that number one spot? Maybe, again, they have those worries about the injuries, but they still see that talent. Do you think there is any way he gets into the top five?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you're doing these private workouts with these teams, he's going to talk to you and tell you and show you different stuff that, we're not all seeing in the media or on TV and whatnot. I definitely think, because coming out of high school, he was the number one player. So if a team is not worried specifically about the back, if they say, we're just worried about what you can do on the court, the back injury is behind us, he'll easily fall into the top five. I just think there's so much talent, like for sure talent out there that questions behind them that, it's hard. I mean, I'm trying to put myself into the mind of a GM being in the top five, and am I going to pass on Bagley to take Porter at three? I mean, it's tough, but I could see him definitely going in the top five. I would not be surprised, but I just think there's so much other top end talent out there that a team doesn't need to do it.
Yeah. And I don't, they're safer picks too.
Right. And that's what I'm going for, the safer pick, because how bad would it be if the Kings fell into that second spot, took Porter Jr., and he was just a complete another bust for that franchise, and they're still in the same spot as where they are? I mean, that would just be absolutely devastating when they could go with a Luka, or they could go with a Bagley or somebody like that. So I think part of it is just, the safeness of those other picks. So,
yeah, you don't want to be a Portland. You want to be passing up on Michael Porter or Michael Jordan, taking a Sam Bowie, or taking a Greg Oden and passing up a Kevin Durant. I get that. I get that mindset. Ricky, where does MPJ end up going? Now, kind of a little bit of a mock draft.
If you would have asked me before this news, I would have said to number seven, he's going to the Chicago Bulls. However, I think what's going to happen is the Clippers are going to do what they need to do, and they're going to take him at four. I think the Grizzlies and the Clippers get a deal done. MPJ goes to LA at four.
Dave.
Well, tinfoil hat Ricky.
Okay. Yeah.
I love it. We don't expect anything less than Ricky, whether it's a Patriot segment or not. Dave, where does MPJ end up going?
I'll be bold here and break my own word. I'll say Orlando snipes him out from the Bulls at six.
That'd be bold. That'd be bold.
No Trey Young for the Magic?
No, I know.
Ooh. The prodigal son?
I just think that they're going to take a stab at something. If they like Porter over Trey, Porter has a higher upside than Trey. I'll just be honest. Yes, Trey Young, we all wish he would be Steph Curry, but... realistic
and then the
thing
Bulls
is
shit
not.
The bed and take Trae Young.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is, again, you can't teach the size. You can't teach 6'11 with his movement. Again, if he's healthy,
sky's the limit.
It's a guy that I would look at highest, too. I mean, Sacramento, we talked about it early on in the draft when they were around, the 7 mark, before they won the 2 spot through the lottery. This was a perfect fit for them. Filling that 3 spot, they already have Bogey, they already have Buddy Hield, they have De'Aaron Fox. Filling in that 3, getting a star that could be a natural scorer. If he impresses Sacramento, I see him going as high as 2.
Yeah.
If not, I could see, even though they do have Harrison Barnes, like Bill mentioned, I still think that you might be able to slide Harrison Barnes over. Maybe you put MPJ at the 4, and you really can't pass up that talent. And I still think that talent's there. It's just the biggest question about the injuries, and we keep bringing it up. We haven't seen him at the combine. I think that the fact that he showed up and did the measurements, did everything there, I think that was big. But again, if he came out and actually showed what he had, I think that would have been more impressive, because it's showing him that he's not afraid to just be himself. He's not afraid to be a competitor. I think that would have been big. Again, I'm not blaming him, because he's a month away from the biggest day of his life.
Yeah.
He's a month away from the biggest payday of his life so far. So I can't blame him on that. But I still think if he's able to impress in workouts, I think Sacramento might snipe him at 2. At the highest, at the lowest, though, I would find it tough for Dallas to pass him up, because even though a guy like Jaren Jackson would fit their system, even though Mo Bamba would be nice on that team, Michael Porter Jr. has more talent than both of those guys, and I think that's the biggest thing. Any final thoughts? We'll go to Dave first.
No, I just think that he's probably one of the most intriguing prospects because of that injury, because we didn't get to see anything out of him, and he looked so sluggish when he came back.
Let's wait till the private workouts.
I think private workouts, like you said, that's going to sort it all. Like, I can't wait for the crazy rumors. Like, oh, well, he hit 95 out of 100 three-pointers here, but he also ate 4 Big Macs. Like, what's it going to be?
Well, no, he's a vegetarian now, apparently.
Yeah, Ricky, final thoughts.
I mean, for me, I think that it's going to be interesting to see if the Clippers actually make a move. They have, to me, great ammunition at 12 and 13, and are they going to jump up to get their guy who might be MPJ?
Bill, any final thoughts, whether it's on the Clippers, MPJ, the Bulls, or your boy Wendell Carter? What do you got for us?
You know, I just final thoughts. It's going to be interesting to see, after he does some of these private workouts, that, like I said, I think he might be taken at number 7 with the Bulls, but I think he could go as high as 3 or 4. So I just think after these private workouts is going to be a huge thing for Michael Porter Jr. just to see, because I think personally star potentially is the best one in the draft. So I think there's just going to be a huge draft bomb that happens on draft day, a big trade or a pick that happens a lot earlier than what we expect. So I'm just looking for some fireworks on draft night. So.
And building off what Bill said, because I agree with him, I think the one thing, it might be bad if he falls to 7 after the private workouts, because yes, the injuries are a big thing, but if he goes out and shows the true player that he is, again, talent-wise, he's a top 5 player. So it's really, if he's falling past that top 5, then there are injury concerns that these teams have. I think that's a big red flag. I think that would probably be the worst scenario for MPJ. Yes, would Chicago be a great place for him to play? Of course, but I think it would be a worst-case scenario, because it's at least a bad omen. Because this kid, again, is a top 5 talent. Like Bill said, might even be the top talent in this draft. The injury is a massive concern. I think if he's not able to show his talent and is not 100% healthy at these private workouts, especially it being a back injury to his severity, I think it's a huge red flag. But Bill, I want to thank you for being a patron. I want to thank you for giving us an awesome Patreon segment. You absolutely rock. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments below. What do you think about MPJ to the Clippers or to the Bulls? What team will move up to take him, or which team will take MPJ? Bill, thank you so much. But let's jump into the next segment. I want to thank Bill for being on the MPJ topic. It was fun to just find out about some of these Patriots, because you never, it's small world. I'll just put it that
very
way.
Small world.
It's very funny though. Well, let's jump into our next one. We're going to be talking about the Hawks and the Kings. A report came out saying that the Hawks and Kings would both pass on Luka Doncic if he is available at the 2 and 3 spots, assuming that the Suns go with DeAndre Ayton. It would look like the Kings and Hawks would be passing on Luka Doncic. Let's first see through the bullshit. Is this true, or is this jocking?
No, I think it's true.
Okay, why?
The thing that
are you believing everything you read? Like, no, what gives you this inkling? Because he fits in their system. He fits their position needs.
Here's the thing I think of, and this is my whole thing, is I think this has more truth than smokescreen. Like, there's either two things that this says to me. One, that they don't want Luka Doncic, and even if he's there, they'd pass on him. Or two, and this is what I don't think is true, but you can also read into this, is that there may be some truth to what we heard last week. Like we talked about, oh, well, ESPN, it's a story about Luka and he's not sure if he'll come over. Well, do they know something that we don't while scouting him, that there's more of a real chance that he would not come over? I'm not going that way. I'm going in another way. And for me, because of this news, I'm going to bring in a third team, the Phoenix Suns. If I'm the Phoenix Suns, what I'm doing now is I'm trying to drive that price on DeAndre Ayton, saying like, oh, we're going to draft, like, he's our favorite guy, yada, 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 to try to then get one of the teams like the Hawks maybe to trade so that they can take Ayton at one and I can take a look at three.
A la the Celtics. Exactly. 76ers flip. I mean, ESPN's Jonathan Giovanni reported on Saturday said there's a belief among some NBA decision makers that the Sacramento Kings and Atlanta Hawks, who have the second and third overall picks respectively, could pass on Doncic in favor of American front court players. One thing I do want to throw out there, and this is going to feed into you. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's one thing that maybe it's a report from the Suns, because this is getting into tinfoil. So we've been in rooms too long, so I'm kind of breathing your fumes. But it's one thing if the Suns do want to trade down, they do want Luka, but they think that, you know, these teams like the Kings and Hawks respectively, they want a guy like DeAndre Ayton. And you look at Ryan McDonough, just gave ESPN like one of the scoops of the century, saying, oh, we might look to trade the number one pick to get a veteran. And then they also get the report saying that now they're, you know, locked down, not going to be trading the pick for McDonough. So it seems like they have some connections with the Suns organization. So maybe it plays into you. Maybe the Suns are feeding that information, saying, you know, in pretty much giving the Kings and Hawks hope, saying that Luka Doncic is going to be available for you. If you want DeAndre Ayton, you're going to have to trade up and flip with us. So maybe that part is true. But I find it odd, Dave, that these two teams would pass up on arguably the safest and, you know, some would argue the best prospect in this draft. Are you buying into this report?
I'm not buying a ton into it. I think it's more so just like they're trying to see what the value is. If someone is interested in Luka, you know, we're ears are open. We're listening for business. To offers. Yeah. Because I don't think either one of these teams maybe loves him. I think the Kings, I think Vlade would love to have him on the team. I think that fit-wise, they could make it work. Yes, they already have a crowded backcourt, but he is still someone you take the player, you don't take the fit at that point in the draft. For Atlanta, I think it comes down to they've got a lot of question marks on that team. So if they can get a haul for him, why not? Why not? They've got a lot of pieces to fill in. I would still be in the camp of take him at two, take him at three, take him whenever he's available. I feel like this is either the Suns doing their game to try to move back, or it's both these teams, people being like, you know what? If you guys love him that much, let's hear what you're going to offer me.
And here's the thing I think of, and maybe you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. We haven't, maybe it's because he's an overseas player, we haven't really heard a team come out and say, we love Luka. Like that we've had where we talk about the Clippers having interest in Michael Porter Jr. We talk about X team like the Suns. Oh, we really like DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
There hasn't been really a team anywhere that said, we like Luka. Like, Luka's our main guy. I don't know if that's because he's overseas, because of the questions with overseas players, except the last two, I believe, that came over. KP was one of those, doing really well in the NBA right now, except for his injury. I think that this could be, I don't think it's the Suns trying to do anything. I just think it's the Kings and the Hawks looking at it and going, hey, you know what? There are some bigs here. I think the Kings could now at two have a choice between if Ayton's gone at one, like many people think, well, do we go with a Mo Bamba for the center? Do we look at Marvin Bagley for more of the four, can slide over to the five? What do we do with more of our bigs? And the Hawks are the same way, because unless they move Dennis Schroeder, I don't see them going
the Kings one. I don't understand, to be honest with you. I mean, we talk about their depth at not only the backcourt, because they have, you know, obviously Bogdanovich, they have Buddy Hield, they have De'Aaron Fox, but also you look at their power forwards position, and they already have Scalabissier, and they have Harry Giles, who apparently is tearing it up in practice now. So, I mean, I look at it, and why would you be going, if DeAndre Ayton's off the board, why would you be going with a Marvin Bagley? Why would you be going with a Triple J? Maybe Bamba, but again, I think that's even a stretch right there. Luka Doncic has proven that he's a winner. Luka Doncic has proven that he's a competitor. Luka Doncic is playing his ass off right now overseas, just won the Euro Cup for Real Madrid. I mean, he, right now he's balling out right now as an 18-year-old, and it's not something where it's, you know, an Evan Fournier, not an Evan Fournier, a Mario Hezonja thing where Hezonja was over there putting up 7 points a game. Luka Doncic was the MVP in the championship game,
totally
in the final four.
Situation.
I mean, he's dominating over there as an 18-year-old. He's been a professional since the age of 13. It doesn't make sense to me that these two teams would pass him up because he fits their teams. And I don't know if it's something where teams, you know, blatantly come out and say, we love this guy. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. I think the Suns said if Ayton was there, and this was a couple months ago, if Ayton was there, they'd draft him. But also that's something where, again, you know, you take bits and clips of what McDonough says, mm-hmm. and maybe, I didn't read the full interview, but what we've heard is if he's there, we'll take him at number one. Reading a ton of, you know, just journalism throughout my life so far, that could be a clip where, you know, oh, hey, what do you think about DeAndre Ayton? You know, if he's there, we'll take him. That's something where you take that. It's not a commitment to taking him. Mm-hmm. It's just something where, again, he's saying that they have interest in him. I don't know how much teams come out and just say, we love X, Y, and Z. Like, they're not going to tell you their draft board flat out.
Well,
no, they're not. I mean,
the Lakers came out yesterday. That was creepy. Yeah. Lakers came out yesterday. Interest in Luka Doncic. Just said
do
it.
They have the ammo?
Kevin they don't have any ammo.
Like, sign and trade with Julius Randle to the Mavericks is the one thing mm-hmm. that I've seen on a couple of these articles.
Is that going
to
do it for the fifth pick?
I mean, it'd be something else, I have to assume. But yeah, Kevin Pelton came out yesterday. Lakers have rumored to be high on Doncic, which makes sense considering the potential fit alongside Lonzo Ball. They don't appear to be positioning themselves for a trade for the top five pick, though. So that's the question is, like, if they like him, how much would they have to give up for him? But that's at least one team who has said something mm-hmm. outspoken about the interest.
Well, and I mean, to me, the thing I'm – there's a team that could trade – like, let's say the Lakers. We'll use that because you said they're interested. A team could trade up if he gets past three. But the thing I'm looking at is more so the Suns. And the trade that I came up with, just so that you guys can kind of see what you think – a la the 76ers and the Celtics, this would be a draft day trade. Hawks move up to one. They take Ayton. Suns then move down to three. Hey, we don't need to take Luka at one. We can take him at three because the Hawks are going to pass on him. And the only extra thing that the Suns would get is the 2019 Cleveland first rounder, because the thing about that is the Hawks own their own and they own Cleveland's first round pick. So they're going to send that pick over to the Suns, and that one is a protected, 11 through 30? So if LeBron leaves Cleveland, good chance that the Cavs could be in the top 10, and boom, you get Cleveland's first-round pick, which could be a top 10 pick. You'll either get that in 2019 or 2020.
Well, and one thing, too, I think this was in the Pelton thing where you mentioned the Lakers and mm-hmm. Luka. Him and Giovanni on ESPN.com had a discussion, and what Pelton asked him was, how strong is your suspicion that Luka could fall out of the top three? And he said, barring a trade, I say Doncic being drafted in the top three is no better than a 50-50 chance. I felt an increasing disparity the past few months between the public's bullish perception of Doncic, which we share, and what NBA executives say privately. So let's talk about why Luka would be falling. Because, again, mm-hmm. he's proving it right now overseas. Again, 18 years old. He's been playing
19
professional.
19 now.
Thank you. I know we would have gotten called out for that.
Yeah,
but again, mm-hmm. 18, 19 years old. He's a guy that's been playing professionally since about 14, 15 years old. Again, just lit it up in the EuroLeague, taking one of the best teams in that league and leading them to a championship. Yes, he wasn't super consistent, but he did have big performances in big games. What would be at least the reason why he falls out? Is it just because of international perspectives, Dave, or is it something in his game? You know, people bring up athleticism. Is that, you know, a driving factor where we see so many athletic freaks in this draft, like a Mo Bamba, like a Marvin
DeAndre
Bagley,
Ayton.
Like a DeAndre Ayton? Yeah. Is it that's what's, even Michael Porter Jr., is it that's what's setting apart Luka, is the fact that he isn't an eye-popping athlete, even though he's a very well-rounded player?
Yeah, I think that's one. It's a combination of that plus the lack of hits on overseas players over the years. I mean, there's a problem when you can't build a trend of this is the way you draft successfully for Euro players, because they can go anywhere from first round or second round or mm-hmm. undrafted. We've seen hits all across the board. There's no real, I know there's no draft science, but we have an idea generally.
I mean,
of
was
what
it
we're
Giannis like 13th overall and he was overseas?
I want to say, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, there's guys everywhere across the draft. You can see success. So I think trying to say that, nope, this is why he is this good, his body, he's 6'8 at age 19. Like, His muscles are, he's still building. He's mm-hmm. not on an NBA diet. He's not with NBA mm-hmm. trainers. So the athleticism right now, yes, totally in question, but I think that's something that he can improve, and I'm surprised if that would be something that people are like, he can never get quicker. His first step will never be faster.
The mm-hmm. only reason why I could see him fall is if I was at 2 or 3, the only thing that would make me pass on Luka Doncic, if there was the smallest, I'm not saying like 1%, I'm saying like an actual, like maybe 15% mm-hmm. chance that he doesn't come over right away.
Well, and that's one thing that like, I was going to get into.
Does this then mean that the news we heard last week, maybe there's a little bit more fire to that
smoke? And in the same article, Giovanni does say we should point out whether or not Doncic goes in the top three will be determined by evaluations from Phoenix, Sacramento, and Atlanta. Doncic's advisors also can try to influence his destinations. Here's how that can work. Doncic is declared for the draft, but he's still under contract with Real Madrid. With a buyout, he'll need to contribute towards and is not committed to leaving Europe next season, though it would be surprising if he elected to stay. And then he also has, Doncic has one of the most experienced agents in the industry, Bill Duffley, handling his business affairs with NBA teams. There's little doubt that for a player of his caliber, there are significant differences among his potential landing spots regarding the perceived stability of the organization's experience integrating European players, particularly in regard to the coaching staff and type of complementary talent on the roster. Marcus says potential endorsements could play a role here as well, especially for a player with as much star quality as Doncic has. So he's trying to vie for a place that's, you know, built European talent before, a team that has the ability to have a large market size, already has talent on their team, and a team that won't suck right away. And let's be honest, there are some, you know, a little bit of hints that each team can offer. You know, Atlanta, a fairly decent market size in so far. They've built up stars before. I mean, we've seen, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, you know, the Falcons. We've seen the Braves, you know, really latch on to Atlanta before. Mm-hmm. You know, Phoenix, pretty decent market. They have Dev Book. And we look at least the Kings. Again, they have young talent. They're in California, but not really that large of a market. and we've seen at least Bogdanovich come over, and they do at least have that European side. Also, Vlade, you know, being a part of it, that might play into a factor as well. Which team out of the top three kind of fits all of those needs that Luka Doncic has had? Maybe not perfectly, but at least best. Reading all that, taking all that in, which team do you think would actually shoot for Doncic? Maybe they don't go for him, but at least which team do you think has the most to offer Doncic and his
outside
agent?
Outside the top three?
No, in the top three. In the top three, we'll go outside, but first in the top three.
I think for me it's easy. It's the Suns because they have the thing I would worry most about Luka has nothing to do with his basketball play. It would all come down to you're coming into a brand new situation.
Yep.
You're going to be living in a country you've never lived before.
Yep.
And what's going to be one of your rocks? Having a guy who knows you, having a coach that has coached you before.
Sean, what's that coach's name?
That mentor for you, Igor.
Igor Koshkovo.
Okay. We'll see if we said it right this time. But I mean, the thing, here's something that I think about. And there's a situation that actually is kind of similar to this. Nico Mirotic, drafted by the Bulls, not as high as Luka. But still drafted around 20 years old, so he was drafted when he was 20. Didn't come over until he was 24. Like, if you're Luka, do you go that route where it's like, hey, I'm 19, I don't necessarily have to play for a sucky Suns, Kings, or Hawks team right now. Let me sit back, see what you do, and then I'll come over.
I don't know about that because, again, the talent isn't going to – talent's different than him and Nico. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing is he's going to go top 10. Yeah.
But my thing is – for Luka, one of the things he could leverage is, no, I'm not going to play for your crappy team until, even if I come over 24, I'm still right before my prime and then into my prime.
And Dave, I want to throw out something with that. I mean, even though Ricky says the best fit is the Suns, let's look at Bogdanović. He was a part of that trade where the Suns moved up to get Marquese Chriss. I'm sorry, the Kings moved up to get Marquese Chriss. And for that, the Suns added in Bogdanović to that package. So, I mean, is Phoenix really the best place? Yes, they have Koshkovo. Yes, they have Devin Booker. But is the market size big enough? Do they have that pedigree of developing international players enough where Luka would be comfortable to going to Phoenix?
Yeah, I was leaning heavily towards the Kings as the favorite as far as nailing down those key points that you were mentioning earlier. I think the being in Sacramento, yes, I know it's not L.A., but it's still California. It's still a fairly large market, and you're close enough to everything that you're still getting the impact of that. Europe here in talent on that team. Yes, you just mentioned Bogey being, you know, a very successful rookie year. I know he's a little bit older, but he is a well-rounded player. Same thing. And they've had European players before. It's not like the Kings are unfamiliar. They're very familiar with Euros. So I think that and the overall talent on the team, like you said, De'Aaron Fox, we all love. Buddy Hield looks like a knockdown shooter for the next decade plus. You add in Harry Giles, who we all hope, you know, can live up to the hype that people are building him up to. I think that this is a team that has a ton of talent top mm-hmm. to bottom. You know, it's just they're very young. They're very raw. You need to make sure they have the right coach there. But outside of coaching question, like, I think that's the team you want to be on out of those top three.
Well, one thing Giovanni mentions is the Kings are also worth mentioning. This is talking about where he'll end up landing. They were reportedly one of the teams that were highest on MPJ before they moved up from number 7 to number 2 in the lottery. They would they look to slide down a few slots to take Porter and pick up another asset in the process? They don't have a draft pick in either round in 2019 at the moment, which has to be a little scary considering how far away they are from contending from a playoff spot. Yep. So again, he fits the system. They fit a position they need. And then again, you mentioned the Bogdanovich thing. So which team would end up winning? I mean, right now the Hawks really aren't in it for what we've mentioned so far. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you that it's either the Kings or the Suns. Which team do you think has that leverage? I mean, taking all that into account, because Phoenix, again, might be a bigger market. Sacramento isn't a crazy large market. They don't have a massive fan support. Neither does Phoenix, but both teams have sucked recently. Yep. I mean, which team do you think offers the most to him? Ricky, are you still sticking with the Suns? Because, I mean, again, it's not clear cut. I mean, and also one thing, too. I mean, would the Suns take him at number one?
No.
So
I don't think they take him at number one. The only way they take him is if they do a trade for like,
so would you lean to the
four.
Kings then just because it's more apparent that they might be taking him in the top three?
And here's the thing that both the Suns and the Kings have to deal with, and maybe the Kings are coming to terms with this.
Mm-hmm.
If we add Luka, does that necessarily, yeah, we've got all the talent that Dave listed, but if we add Luka, is adding Luka going to be enough to not only make us a playoff team in the West, but really the goal is not only do we have to get over the Warriors now, we got to get over the Rockets too.
So I mean, now I think the timelines aren't even close.
No, but I mean like
by the time the Kings are going to be in their prime, the Rockets are going to be retired. The Warriors are going to be broken up mm-hmm. by then. So I don't. Neither one of those are even going through my mind.
But there's also other teams in the West that are also building up as well.
I mean, Lakers.
Yes, but,
and
but you have a team where
and
you have,
by that time, even by that time, mm-hmm. is it like, all right, maybe we don't have to deal with these two teams. But then all these teams that are building up, does he push us over and make us one of those top teams?
I mean, Utah's fairly young. We look at mm-hmm. New Orleans. I mean, Anthony Davis, for as long as he's been in the league, he's still a young kid. Mm-hmm. Yep. Probably only be 30 in the next 6 years, I think. You look
the
at
Clippers
Minnesota,
and the
still young. Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers, like I mentioned, and even Dallas, Memphis, and Phoenix, too. So I think one thing, though, and it's really, will he actually fall out of the top three? Let's answer that question.
No.
Is he going to fall out of the top three? Because talent-wise, he's not. But again, we talk about the leverage. We talk about whether he's going to come over or not.
Mm-hmm.
Will he actually fall out of the top three?
I'm saying no.
Which team takes him on?
I'm going with my prediction of Suns take him at three. They get the third pick, 2019 Cleveland pick, and the Hawks get the number one.
Dave, I know you love him. I know you absolutely love him. Yep. Try to separate himself from that. Is he going to fall to the top three? Because, again,
I think there's a realistic chance he does.
Are you with Giovanni where he says 50-50? Maybe 75% he's a top three pick, 25% he's not a top three?
Yeah, I think it's pretty heavy towards top three, but I'll give it like 20-25% chance he falls, which is still a lot.
Dave's dying. It's all right. We've been doing four segments now. Dave's been dying.
Dave's been a trooper, man. He's done three podcasts
like
today.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one thing where again, it's something where
this is the kind of dedication we get, Sean.
Okay. But yeah, I mean,
I can go on a little bit.
Okay. We stalled enough.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So yeah, I think it's about like 20-25% chance he falls out of the top three, and that's purely because, like you said, there's all these rumors starting to come out. And I start looking at these teams who are, like he said, you know, latching on to that, you know, more athletic, larger guys in this draft class. And if people are looking for bigs, like, I can respect if you're choosing because, you're like, I think Mohamed Bamba, I think Triple J, I think guys like Marvin Bagley are all more valuable because we see the big as the way to counter all this these undersized wings, these undersized guys mm-hmm. out there. We can totally change the game going forward. If you don't think that Luka's the guy because he doesn't have that exact fit into the NBA game right now because you're like, he's an oversized two, he's a three, you know, is he really a one then mm-hmm. because he's the primary ball handler? Like, I think that leads to a lot of questions. I think being versatile in today's NBA age. Well, yes, teams like the Celtics see that as, we'll take every wing you've got. I think other teams are very timid, and they're not sure, you know, where would he fit on our team?
I want to jump in real quick because we brought this question up. I forget who it was, but where he would fit on our team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's something where it's not really, again, I think it's something where we're trying to put him into a hole.
Right.
But he can't be, right. I mean, I think, you know, where would he fit on his team more means he's versatile rather than, you know, we need to find a spot for him. Mm-hmm. Because, again, this is a guy that he could play the three for you. He's an oversized two. If you need him to be the secondary ball handler, if you need him to work off screens, I think he can effectively do that. He's a fairly decent shooter. Mm-hmm. And then he can be a number one. He could be a primary ball handler. Let's look at Ben Simmons. I mean, you know, completely different players. But again, you can be 6'8 and still be a point guard. Let's look at LeBron James. Let's look at Giannis Antetokounmpo. These guys, you don't really need to be a certain size anymore to be a number one, to be a number two, to be mm-hmm. number three. You bring versatility, and I think he can guard one through three. I mean, maybe not right now. Maybe he'll need some time to age in the NBA, but I don't think he's going to be like Steph Curry where they're hiding him on defense. I think he's a guy that's going to be at least fairly decent on defense, and he can effectively guard the one through three. You know, it's going to be certain to matchups, but, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to guard LeBron James out there. But I think he can guard, you know, a fair amount of players in the NBA. I think he brings versatility to a team. And for the Atlanta Hawks and for the Sacramento Kings, it would be stupid for them to pass on Luka Doncic. And I think even the Suns, too. It'd be stupid for them to pass on Luka.
I don't know if it'd be stupid. It's
okay, again, this is my opinion. It'd be stupid for them to pass on it. Because this is someone who is a competitor. This is a kid who's been doing it at a professional level. I'm coming around on Luka Doncic because, again, this is a guy that has been playing so much basketball. We've seen so much from him. And, yes, he's not there every single night. But he's 18 years old, was just named the MVP of the second best professional league in all of the world, put up good numbers in the Euro tournament last year. I mean, this guy's been doing it. He's been in the trenches. He's been playing professional ball. He hasn't quit. He's been a leader, and he's 18 years old. I get it. He's not 19. I'm used to saying 18. Sorry. Happy birthday, Luka Doncic. But it's something where, again, I just look at him, and this is so much – The maturity level is so developed, and, you know, maybe you get that from other players, but Luka's showing it on the floor, and that's what I want from my players. Mm-hmm. And I think the Suns would be stupid to pass up Luka Doncic. I think the Kings would be stupid to pass up Luka Doncic. I think the Hawks would be stupid to pass up Luka Doncic. And if the Grizzlies have the opportunity to take him at four, I think they'd be throwing a parade in Memphis, down Beale Street, having a blast, because Luka Doncic would be a perfect fit for any NBA team. We talk about Mikal Bridges fitting that 3-and-D scenario, but you're not going to get the leadership you will from Luka Doncic. You're not going to get the ability to at least, you know, be a guy that you plug into every single hole.
The basketball IQ, even.
Mikal Bridges is a guy that is a great 3-and-D player. Luka Doncic is a great basketball player. This is a guy that you cannot pass up. And maybe, again, for the Suns, you look at that athleticism, you look at that 7-foot-tall freak of nature in DeAndre Ayton. If you want to take him, fine, whatever. He fits your need. But I think you'd be missing out on one of the safest picks and also one of the smartest picks in Luka Doncic here. Again, that's just my opinion.
The first thing that it popped into my head while you were talking, it was funny how one of the mock drafts we did, I had him fall all the way to 7.
Yeah,
God. And we were like, oh, there's no way he falls out of the top 3. And now we're even proposing the question that it does.
It's fair. It's fair to point out, Ricky.
The Suns,
as one that usually toots their own horn, I totally get the victory lap.
The Suns, though, to me, are the team where I'll give you that. If the Suns don't draft him, I think that's stupid. I think they're the best out of the top 3, the most equipped to be the best team for Luka Doncic. The thing with the Kings and the Hawks, though, is the Hawks would be almost my second one, where it's like, all right, maybe you shouldn't pass on them. The Kings, though, like, I'm starting to think Marvin Bagley's their guy. Like, a guy who, like, you hear him in interviews and he doesn't want to be a 4, doesn't want to be a 5, kind of wants to be that positionless big, where it's like, I can do a lot of things. And, like, talking to Dave before you even got here today, where it's like, imagine him at the 5, like a Harry Giles, like, running the court in the 5-4. Like, you can then move him over to the 4 if you have Willie Cauley-Stein in. And then it's like the Hawks, it comes down to, what do you think of Mo Bamba at that point? Like, to me, the big would be the 5, would be the position that they would really need. If they're going to keep Dennis Schroeder and be like, we're not playing into your childish demands, Mo Bamba could be a good pick for them, and that might be enough to then skew these two guys or these two teams away from Doncic.
So do you think, and are you still, like, end of the day, mm-hmm. you're still sticking with the Suns trading back.
Yes. My okay. right now is
if they don't trade back, what happens?
If they don't trade back,
if the Suns don't trade back to take DeAndre, then I think how far does he fall?
Maybe to the Grizzlies would be an interesting pick. If it doesn't get traded,
he doesn't get past four.
Then Ayton goes it to the Suns. I would have Bagley to the Kings. Mo Bamba then to the Hawks.
And he doesn't get
past four. I don't know if the Grizzlies take Doncic. I probably would because the Grizzlies could take anything, but are they going to make a trade with the Clippers? Like, what's going to go on? And if there's a trade and the Clippers do Michael Porter Jr., then he falls to the Mavericks. Are the Mavericks going to take him? Will the Magic take him? There's no way he gets past seven, but I don't think he's going to go that far.
If the Magic get him, first off,
yeah.
our boy Vegberg on Twitter is going to fucking gonna lose the
shit.
Flip
there's
the shit.
There's no way either. Depending on how far he falls, there is no way he gets past. The only way he gets past the Magic is if they make a trade, and there's no way he gets past the Bulls, but I really don't want to see Doncic in a Bulls uniform.
Hater.
I would rather see Michael Porter Jr., but that's just me being personal. That's not anything with it. I just would rather see MPJ over Doncic.
Dave, where do you see your boy Luka ending up?
Oh, where do I think he'll end up at?
Yeah. Is he going to be taken number one? Are you with Ricky that he's going to fall out of the top, or he might fall out of the top four if a trade doesn't happen? What are you thinking after we've discussed?
I think it's likely that he goes two to the Kings or four to the Mavs. Okay. Or four to the Grizz. I mean, he could fit on the Mavs on five, but like I think those are the two spots. It's two or four. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't think he goes any further than four, but if you see, you know, Porter have amazing workouts with teams, then the Kings could take Porter. Things could happen at three. He could fall down. Yeah, I four, five.
Four at the worst?
Four at five now. I'm like hedging my bet.
Oh, come on, nut up. Where's he going? Four or five?
He'll go four.
All right. Let us know where you think Luka Doncic is going to end up after the 2018 NBA draft is said and done. Will the Kings take him at two? Will the Hawks take him at three? Will the Suns take him at one? Or will he trade back, like Ricky Widmer's saying? Will he end up in a Memphis Grizzly uniform, maybe falls all the way to Dallas? Let us know what you think about Luka Doncic. And I'm going to be real honest with these people. We already recorded Jake's segment, so we hope you enjoy Jake's Patreon mm-hmm. segment, which is yep. up next. And I'm going to do something fun, a little Tony Rally, kind of like tossing the baseball. When we toss in the water bottle. Hope you have a good one. Hope you enjoy Jake.
You almost hit that chair leg.
Well, let's jump into the last topic, and we are going to welcome in one of the OG patrons, not the OG patron, but he's been a patron for about 5 or 6 months now. We're welcoming in Jake. Jake, you're back again on the Fast Break Podcast, and you've brought one fantastic topic, but I do want to throw it to you before we introduce the topic, even though it's going to be titled on YouTube. I want to throw it to you because you said you had a good opening line for Ricky.
Oh, no. Let him go through his list first. Okay. All right.
So what Jake proposed was he wants to do a top 10 list of the current NBA players. Colin Cowherd did it, and it was absolutely trash. So Jake wanted to redo it. So all four of us do have a top 10 of the current NBA players. Now, Jake, we'll go to you first. Give us your top 10.
All right. Well, I got LeBron and Durant, 1 and 2. Don't really think that's debatable. I think everybody has the same thing. And then I got Kawhi at number 3. My reasoning for that was he can put up 25 a game, and he's the only guy on the list that can guard 1 and 2 spots. And then I got Steph Curry at 4, greatest shooter of all time, not really debatable. Anthony Davis at 5, best big man in the league, he can really do it all. I'm probably going to finish 3rd in MVP voting, but maybe next year he'll get more recognition. And then James Harden at 6, he's going to be the MVP. Russell Westbrook at 7, Mr. Triple-Double 2 years in a row, can't really argue with that. Giannis at 8, I originally didn't have him in my list, but after reconsideration with Sean yesterday, I may have been convinced. Kyrie at 9. But due to injury, he might have fallen down people's list, but I still believe, I think next year or the year after, he'll pass Russell and be the second best point guard in the league behind mm-hmm. Steph. And then number 10, got the best center, Mr. Trust the Process, Joel Embiid.
I'm glad I broke down Jake, because he was yelling at me that I had Giannis on my list at all, and that yeah. over Joel Embiid, and then I was like, I'm throwing stats at Jake
and
over Twitter.
And then he also saw that maybe two other people also have Giannis on their
top 10. So I'm at least glad yeah. Jake listened to reason here and put Giannis on his list. Ricky, we'll go to you. Who's your top 10?
Well, I'll kind of do the same thing Jake did. So number 1, number 2, non-debatable, LeBron, followed by Kevin Durant. Then to me, there's a second tier. 3-4. It's either Steph and Anthony Davis. I'm going to put Steph above AD. Then at 5, Kawhi Leonard defensively is there. Also, should have probably went to an NBA Finals if he didn't get Zaza'd. So I've got Kawhi there right
that.
At 5.
It was one game.
I think they would have beat the Warriors maybe if he's in that series. Then I've got Kyrie Irving at 6, Klay Thompson at 7, Giannis at 8, James Harden at 9, and then Ben Simmons at 10. And here's where you can jumble everything up, and it's not so cookie cutter.
Jake, what's the retort you had?
So can you explain to me how Ben Simmons is a better player than Russell Westbrook?
So here's exactly why. Like, it's not necessarily Ben Simmons over Russ, but for
me...
Well,
no, that's exactly what it is.
Exactly
what
it is.
I'll tell you why
Russ is 12.
No, I'll tell you why Russ isn't in my top 10 is because I really don't think he is to me, just a stat. I'm going to boost the stat sheets, never going to win a title, never going to be someone that you can build a team around, and I would take any of these top players over him if I'm building a team.
So you're going to build a team around Klay Thompson, who's a third.
If I absolutely had to, I would.
James Harden, who you're building a team around, who's currently beating the team with three of your guys in their top 10, James Harden is below Klay Thompson, who's a third.
I'm not saying that's the only parameter I used, but all 10 of these guys I would pick to build my team around before Russ.
So even though Russ has better stats than Ben Simmons and is one more,
because at the end of the day, I think Ben Simmons will win a title before Russ.
Jake, what do you want to say?
Can you explain to me how Ben Simmons is a better player than Joel Embiid?
Now, I had this conversation with Dave before because I saw you had Joe at 10. For me, I am always going to lean towards the ball handler, the guy who has the ball in his hands more time. I almost wanted to put Joe at 10, but I had to go Ben Simmons because it's a combination of where I think he's going to be, plus him being a ball handler and Joel not being the main ball handler.
Dave, before we get into a huge cat fight, take us through your top 10.
My top 10, hopefully less controversial. LeBron, KD, 1-2, Anthony Davis at 3, Steph Curry at 4, Kawhi at 5, James Harden at 6, Russell Westbrook 7, Giannis 8, Kyrie at 9, and Dame. I agonized over this 10th spot because it could be about four different people, but I landed on Dame.
Well, Dave even had J.J. Redick and T.J. McConnell in there just as a joke.
J.J.T.K.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Dave did put in the T.J.J.J. Mix-up down
super
to 10.
Human being.
My top 10 goes as LeBron James and then a wide margin at 2 for Kevin Durant, 3 Anthony Davis, 4 James Harden, 5 Steph Curry, 6 Kawhi Leonard, 7 Giannis Antetokounmpo, 8 Russell Westbrook, 9 Damian Lillard, and 10 Kyrie Irving. One thing I do want to throw out there, and we'll get into the whole, you know, Ben Simmons, the Dame, the Joel conversation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, clearly, 1-2, Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that real quick. Ricky, I think you were making the argument a little bit in the season that it was closer than people thought, Kevin Durant versus LeBron James. Has the past season changed your mind that it's a wide margin between LeBron and KD?
I don't think of the margin between them. I think it depends on who you talk to. Like I said, for me, 1 through 4 is... you've got the top two, LeBron, KD. One's going to be number one. One's going to be number two. Most of the people are going to put LeBron above KD. Then that next one is Steph and AD. Okay, which one am I going to put above the other? That's how I kind of look at this top four, but that's how it is with LeBron and KD. Of like, most people, LeBron above KD, but it's them at the top, and they are the only two that are going to get those top two spots.
Well, and I know Drizzy, a guy on Twitter, was consistently trying to prove to me that Kevin Durant was a better player than LeBron James. These playoffs have shown LeBron James is by far the best player in the NBA, and it's not even close in my mind. Jake, since you think you're going to be watching LeBron next year, since he's going to be coming to Philly, do you think it's a wide margin between LBJ and KD, or do you think it's close like Ricky's saying?
Not even close. Not even like LeBron is the greatest player ever to play the game, and most talented, you can make, I'm not going to get to that, but he's the most talented, at least, player ever to play the game. And to see what he's doing, even with K-Love going down with 3 minutes into the last game, and Kevin Durant struggling to beat the Rockets when he has three other All-Stars on his team, it's not even close.
Well, and Dave, one thing, too, you look at below those two guys, LeBron James and KD, you look at that 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
I have James Harden in that 4, but mostly you guys have Steph Curry, AD, and Kawhi Leonard in that, in a certain order. Not everyone has it, Steph, AD, Kawhi, but those three guys are in the 3-4 spots for you, Ricky, and Jake. What sets those players apart from James Harden, who, like Jake said a little bit earlier, is going to be the MVP this year?
I think a lot of it comes down to just being the most consistent and best three-point shooter we've ever seen. I think Steph is just there's not really a great way to put it into...
He changed the game.
Yeah, he literally changed the game. It was like, oh, a three-point shot's cute, that's good, it's a nice thing to have. And then he's like, no, I can drill threes all day, and you have to cover me legitimately as soon as I walk over half court. But on top of that, it's also the ball movement, the offensive flowing through him, the constant passing. Like, he has great vision. He will make risky passes to get payoffs. And honestly, his team plays with him at a different level than most teams. Well, so
the thing I was going to add to mm-hmm. that is, like, for me, the not only is he the best shooter, I'll be honest, Sean, seeing him at five on yours, I think that is criminally low. I think that he's like, you can put Anthony Davis above him
mm-hmm.
because Anthony Davis is carrying that Pelican team, carried them to where they were this year when Boogie went down. But I just look at what Steph does. And like, for me, when I look at AD and Curry, it's kind of like the Ben Joe thing I just said. I'm always going to go with the ball handler, and I'm going to go with the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands more times than the big, either down on the post or even on the outside.
Well, this is right now. So, I mean, I'm looking over the past three seasons. Mm-hmm. James Harden has been playing 82. He's played 82 games in two seasons, and this year he's gotten less of a workload because, again, he was getting mm-hmm. worked like crazy the past two seasons. He only took 10 games off. You can't rely on Steph anymore. I mean, Steph right now is, one, not the best player on his team, and two, he's consistently injured. I mean, you can't mm-hmm. trust his ankles anymore. Is he more talented when he's healthy than James Harden? Yes, but so far, James Harden has been more consistent than Steph Curry. He's been on the floor. He's been putting up 29 points per game over the past three seasons. He's been getting, you know, 10, 11 assists consistently per night. He's a great ball handler. He's a great distributor. And he's one of the most dynamic scorers, if not the most dynamic scorer in the league. Because when he's driving to the bucket, he's going to get fouled. He's great at driving contact. He's great in the mid-range. And he's deadly from three. I mean, he's a guy that shoots 10 threes a game and shoots 36% from downtown. I mean, this is... I mean,
that's league average, pretty much, though.
But still, I mean, he's a guy that's going to be able to do everything on the floor. Yeah. He's not like Steph. No one's like Steph from deep. But still... Being league average and being able to be better at Steph than at driving to the bucket and drawing contact mm-hmm. and getting to the line. He's a better passer than Steph Curry is.
Is he a better passer than Steph Curry?
Maybe.
I would say Steph's a better passer. The thing I was going to ask you, though, is how much does winning play into this with you? Because I put winning into this a little bit. And
okay.
To me,
this is right now. Who is the number one seed in the Western Conference?
No. But you got it. Like, for winning, it's not one of those things where you just look at, like, where I am right now.
Who's up
I
in the
have
series?
To take some of my. I have to take some of my past. And the thing that James Harden, maybe if James Harden wins the finals, all right, then that changes things for me. But, like, the thing, and I originally had James Harden right below Kyrie at seven or at six and right above him. The thing I hate about James Harden is, and I know this might be an overreaction from the last game, you can't miss 11 threes, let CP3 win you the game, and then say, oh, you're one of the top five players in the league.
Let's say this. Me having Steph at five because of his mm-hmm. injuries is, I think, less criminally underrated than you having James Harden at nine. Yes, James Harden doesn't mm-hmm. have an NBA Finals, but neither does Giannis. Neither does Anthony Davis. I mean, you have those two guys above him. I was going to say Clay, but Clay also is the third best player on his team. James Harden is about to bring home an MVP. Jake, I want to go to you because this is something that you brought into me. You know, I mentioned to you that, again, I think Steph Curry is the more talented player. But, again, James Harden has been more consistent. You land on the Steph Curry side. Are you with Ricky that it's more that I'm criminally underrating Steph Curry, putting him at five?
I would say that Curry is a better player overall than Harden, and I can see why you put him lower because of the injuries. But to have not taking anything away from Harden, to have Harden at nine on your list is just...
Well, and one thing too. I mean, let's look at defensively. I mean, Harden's better than Steph defensively. I mean, it's not crazy. None of these guys are defensive player of the year levels. But I mean, Harden is significantly better than Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a liability on defense. They try to hide him in that Warrior defense. Again, he's so dynamic offensively. But again, I think you look at what James Harden's done over the past three seasons. You got to stop sleeping on this guy. He's a top four player in the NBA. There's a reason why he's beating out LeBron. He's beating out AD. He's beating out Kevin Durant for the MVP this year. And he should have won it even last year. He was better than Russ last year. He was more efficient than he was.
And that's the thing.
He was more efficient. I mean, yes, Russ had the history of getting a triple-double, but James Harden was more efficient.
And in my rankings, whenever we talk about him, I'm never bringing up the MVP again because it doesn't – like, the MVP is not the best player. It's the who's the flavor of the week. Last year was the triple-doubles. This year it's James Harden.
Like, and James Harden did both. James Harden was in the flavor of the week last year, and he's in the flavor of the week this year, like, too, for the MVP voting.
Jake brought up Russ. It's like, oh, Russ got average a triple-double last year, won the MVP. Oh, why isn't he in the discussion this year? He did the same thing.
Well, Jake,
and that's why it's like I'm not going to use the MVP in this argument.
You have Russ at seven, and Ricky doesn't have Russ in there at all. I have Russ at eight. Dave has Russ at seven. Make the argument why Russ should be a top 10 player in the NBA.
He averaged a triple-double 2 years in a row. But I don't have to say anything else. Comparing a Ben Simmons, who's a rookie who froze in the playoffs and couldn't beat a team who had their best two players out, and you're still putting Russell Westbrook behind him, that just makes absolutely
no sense. And Russ lost to a rookie.
Okay. And?
I think that the vet, like, and the way
I think it was more Russell Westbrook. It was more Russell Westbrook's supporting cast failing him.
Oh, no,
like he should have retired.
Not
two years
at all.
Ago.
Like as soon as Russ said to Ricky Rubio, "I'm going to shut this shit down," and Don Mitch is sitting there going, "I'm not going to touch that," and basically the Rook was acting like the veteran in that series. He lost.
Well, hold on. Let's bring this in, because one thing that Ricky said was that it's stat padding. Dave, how much is this stat padding of Russell Westbrook, and how much of is it actual talent? Let's take away the personality. Let's take away the supporting cast. What happened in the playoffs? Because again, the playoffs don't fully determine who you are. Mm-hmm. It sets you apart, and that's why you're making the argument for Steph Curry being higher. That's why again, LeBron James is separating himself from Kevin Durant, even though Kevin Durant won one series last year over LeBron James. Dave, at least. Well, how much is stat padding playing into this, or can Russ do this without even stat padding?
I mean, it really depends on what you're calling stat padding. Is it the fact that he's getting all the rebounds because their offensive system is just set up by getting their point guard the ball in his hands as soon as possible? Is that a bad thing in any situation? I don't think that's stat padding. I think that's that's having an offensive scheme where you actually get to have the ball in the right guy's hands off the bat. You're not waiting for handoffs. You're not waiting for anything that could be intercepted or picked up by somebody else. I think it's a smart play. I don't think it's stat padding. I think a lot of the time that you see stat padding is like when he is digging for assists and he has open shots, he's not taking them because, let's be honest, he's usually got the green light. Mm-hmm. So when he's passing on open shots to get that, 9th, 10th assist, yeah, I'll give you that's a little stat padding.
Well, let's put one thing in. Again, looking at Russ, yes, the start of that Utah series was rough, but he also doesn't have the coaching like Utah did. Quinn Snyder, again, in my mind, is close to a top five coach, maybe even top seven coach. He outcoached Billy Donovan, and that's very clear. And then also Russ, in the last two games of that series, he played 44 minutes in pretty much both of them. He shot 42% from the field. He shot 42% from three. He grabbed 12.5 rebounds. He dished out 6 assists, and he scored 45 points in both those games. So, I mean, he was taking over that game. And Carmelo Anthony was nowhere to be seen. They didn't have Andre Roberson. They didn't have, any other players to score buckets besides Russ and besides PG-13. And they, lost by 5 points in the last game to get knocked out by Utah. So, again, maybe that's more of a flavor of the week, Ricky, where, again, yes, he crumbled in the playoffs. Well, but,
yeah,
again,
and really.
He put up 45 points the last two games.
And like I said, for me and my list, like, yes, this is top 10 players right now. But I'm also looking at what you have done to get to this. And for me, being a winner plays into it a little
bit.
What
has Ben Simmons done then? Well, if you're bringing up being a winner, if you're bringing
Giannis
up doing this,
and
he crumbled in the playoffs and did nothing. We'll bring up Giannis soon, Jake.
And that's why, to me, I feel like the big majority of that is you got to be a winner to me to be in the top five. And all – except for maybe Anthony Davis – all of those guys have won championships. All of them except for
Kawhi.
AD.
Oh, Kawhi won. Yeah, one.
Yeah, he won. Finals MVP too. But I mean, for me, that's why 6 through 10. That's why I kind of mapped it out like I did. Okay, LeBron and Durant are here. Argue all you want for those two. Steph and AD are here. Argue all you want for those two. Kawhi's at 5. Everyone after that, 6 through 10. In my mind, you can have any order after that. And I think you can make a case for yours.
Ben Simmons at 6?
TJ McConnell?
Well, you could. I mean, what?
Could you?
Colin Cowherd had him at 6.
That's because he's a fucking moron.
Okay. We're not basing our ideas
off a guy who gets his info fed from scouts.
No, that guy
doesn't watch basketball.
I'm just saying that there's some people that might have him at 6. I don't. I have him at 10. You don't even have him on your list.
No, because he's a rookie and didn't do shit this year. Besides, get 10.7 rebounds on a great team.
After 6, you can make a case for whatever order you personally feel. That's how I feel.
Well, Jake, we'll go to you just because you mentioned Giannis and you're talking about the winners. And again, you put Giannis in. What really overcame to put Giannis in there? Because again, he's 6'11". He's an athletic freak.
Yeah, I was just being more ignorant than I think I was. I was anything else. He's a great player. I'll be honest. I haven't watched a ton of him because he plays in Milwaukee and he hasn't really had a great amount of success in the playoffs. But I was looking at some of his stats last night. He's just a freak. And if he was in a bigger market with a better coaching or even better teammates, because his best teammate right now is Chris Middleton and Jabari Parker, and Jabari can never play. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be a top five NBA player by the end of his career. But I just think as of he's just been inconsistent as of now. Like, not really him, though. It's been his team, the coaching more.
Well, let's bring this up because Ricky keeps bringing up, you know, winning and how much this means to him. And again, you talked about the top five, you know, four of the five players. I mean, Anthony Davis transcends that because of his talent. But four of the five guys in your list did win NBA titles. You know, looking at Jake's, again, the top four guys, LBJ, KD, Kawhi, Steph, all have won NBA titles as well. How much did winning play into this for you, Jake? Or was this solely based off this season? What were you kind of using criteria-wise just to give the people who are listening what you really based your list upon?
I will say, well, okay, I didn't really have to. LeBron and KD, they've won. They've kind of cemented their legacy. Mm-hmm. They're there. And then after that, I kind of just looked at almost pure talent because I think Kawhi is just so underrated because he got hurt this year. I think that's all it was. I think if you asked people this question a year ago, he's number three on basically everybody's list. Maybe he put Steph there. But I think he is the only guy in the league that can guard Kevin Durant and LeBron James. He is the only guy. That's why Zaza, you know, slid under him. But he's, I think, and then you can't really argue with Steph and his winning and all that. But I think winning does play a part if you want to be one of the top players in the NBA. But I think talent can overcome success. That makes any sense.
Well, Dave, there's only one NBA final every single year. And some of these guys, like Giannis, like Anthony Davis, they're still fairly young. Maybe James Harden, Russell Westbrook don't get that same leeway because they've been to finals before.
Yeah.
But you look at Giannis, you look at Anthony Davis, even Joe on Jake's list, and Dame. Again, well, not really Dame because Dame's been in the league for a while. But some of these guys really haven't had the opportunity to have teams around them, have cultures around them. So, again, I think some of this has to be talent as well. And that's why I do put a guy like Giannis at seven because, again, you can't teach being 6'11 with the speed he has, with the size he has. And, yes, he doesn't – you know, he can't shoot a jump shot, but he's so fluid out there. He's so unstoppable. He's, again, one of the best defenders in the league as well. It's tough to really put those guys, you know, outside of your list. Why doesn't a Ben Simmons make it in, though? Because, I mean, you were struggling at that 10.
Yeah.
Ricky does have him in. Why isn't a Ben Simmons, who is dynamic, does, you know, bring all those same things?
Being a 6'11 like point guard.
Yeah, outside of, you know, the defensive aspect that Giannis does bring. Why wouldn't Ben Simmons make it in this list?
Actually pretty good defensively, to be fair.
Like, well, I mean,
he was one of the best defenders in the league this year. Well, I'm just tossing out there. But, no, and that's kind of the question is, like, why Giannis over Ben right now? I think Giannis, we've seen the growth of his career. Every year he's gotten better. Every year it looks like he can keep getting better, which is scary because there's obvious holes in his game as far as the shooting's concerned. I see him as someone who can vault himself up there into that elite company. I think he has the same crazy upside as Anthony Davis does. I'll be honest, I think he could be better than Anthony Davis. Like, his body frame and his mobility, his ability to take over a game, and like the fact that it's like three steps for him to get to the hoop from midcourt on a fast break is disgusting. Like, what he could do with a good supporting cast and a head coach, yeah, he would absolutely be able to jump up and leapfrog into that top five. Ben Simmons, just haven't seen enough yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he has legit potential to be up there. I see why Colin Coward, like, tossed him out there in the discussion. I think it's too early still. I know it was for ratings, but still. Like, yeah, Ben Simmons could probably be here in, like, 3-4 years. No problem.
I mean, you put him in, so what'd you see from Ben?
For me, it's just exactly what Dave talked about. It's a 6'11 guy playing the point, and for me, it's, yes, it could be a little bit of what I see down the line, but how many times are we going to compare a guy to Magic Johnson and then say, oh, but he's not top 10 worthy? Like, I know that's us saying, like, what he's going to be, but if he's going to be that, it's not like I saw anything this season except for the, to quote Game of Zones, the Benny one-point game that he had in the playoffs. But, I mean, from what I've seen this year, he's going to be special. Why not just put him in right now? Because, like, everyone else
earned it.
Well, he will. He is going to earn it.
But we're talking about right now. We're talking about
the guy that I'm honestly more confused that you guys haven't targeted is Klay Thompson on my list.
Well, I think that's ridiculous, but I think Ben Simmons is rougher. Because, like, I mean, Klay, again, he's a great three-point shooter. He's a great defender, and he's won. I'm looking at that Ben Simmons thing, and again, he hasn't done anything yet. He might not even win Rookie of the Year. He might not even be the best rookie.
He's going to be Rookie of the Year or Squire.
I'm just saying he might not be. It's true. He might not win. We don't know who's going to win the Rookie of the Year yet. So is it crazy to say that he might not win Rookie of the Year?
The guy putting up 16-8-8 is not your Rookie of the Year.
It's not crazy.
A rookie that put up 20 points for Donovan Mitchell?
23-3 is not better than 16-8-8.
A guy who put Ben on the top 10 isn't even picking him for the Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, this guy might not even have the best rookie year out of all rookies, yet he's in the top 10. I don't know.
Is he truly a rookie?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is just like a triggered podcast.
Let's do one thing that might be a little bit fun.
Where's Lonzo at?
Who, Jesus.
Like 100.
Who's the guy that just missed the list? Who's number 11? I'll go first, just because I'm throwing that out there and let you guys know this. So I'll go first. The guy that's just missed my list, it's DeMarcus Cousins. This guy's an absolute freak. The only reason why he didn't make it in is because of his injury. And I don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back. But if he's back, he's healthy, he's electric from three for his size. That guy is great at handling the ball at 6'10". He can put his back to the basket. He's fierce. He's a competitor. Him and AD was going to be absolutely scary next year, especially if they're able to keep Rajon Rondo around. If they're able to keep Rondo, DeMarcus Cousins, Nikola, AD, and Drew, it's going to be an absolute fire.
It's a nightmare.
Firework show out there. So DeMarcus Cousins, this guy is absolutely dynamic. Fierce competitor. This guy just missed my list. It's just wondering about where would he be with this injury that he has to deal with. Jake, I know you had Boogie on your list before you took him out. Would he be your number 11?
So when I had him in the list originally, I was juggling between a couple of people. I was between Embiid, Towns, CP3, and then obviously now DeMarcus Cousins. I would say those CP3 is the one that I kind of think he's just there, but he's not. He's not flashy enough. Like, I would still take CP3 over Dame, but he's just right outside the list. And he is one of the best pure point guards of all time, but he just never got to the end.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'll wait and see.
He's the best true point guard.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best true point guard, but again, I think, and Jake kind of hit the nail on the head, and that's why I went with Dame over CP3, is Dame hasn't had the help that CP3 has had. Mm-hmm. And also, we've seen Dame, we've seen buzzer beaters from Dame before. We've seen him take over games scoring wise before. Obviously, that didn't work in the playoffs this year, but I think that was more of a Stotts versus Alvin Gentry thing, more of a Dame thing. And I know CJ did perform still well in that playoff, but they were focusing in on shutting down Dame. And you look what Dame has done, consistently over 23 points per game. He's one of the most dynamic scorers. And CP3, I love him. The guy's great. He's so consistent. I mean, he's been averaging 19 points since, 2011. And he's still averaging, 10 assists, but I think it does, err on that flashy side. And also, we haven't seen CP3 take over and win a series before. Try to do it in game five for the Warriors and Rockets, ended up pulling his hamstring, and now he's going to miss game six. So I think that's one thing that kind of put it out there. And also Towns, if I'm looking at Embiid and Towns, Dave and I had this argument before. Towns is electric offensively, but I mean, you look at what Embiid brings defensively, Kat can not even match that. Yeah. So that's why I'd probably put Embiid over there. So I don't think it's crazy to put Embiid on the list. If you do think, again, he's going to be healthy. Mm-hmm. But again, I crap so much on Joel Embiid not being healthy. I know he had a good year this year. It was healthy, but still, it's a worry that I have for him. Dave, who's number 11 on your list?
I struggled here. Since I struggled at 10, I struggled at 11, of course. No surprise there. I bounced between a couple guys. It was between, Jimmy.
You wanted to make the case for Jimmy at 10.
I want Jimmy to be there, but Jokic is also, I think, deserving of a lot of respect right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Victor Oladipo. Like, those three guys, I'm between the three of them. I think Jokic is probably the one that's most dynamic out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy had the injury this year, and who knows how long his legs will hold out. Victor Oladipo, we saw, the emergence of something special. He had a fantastic year, and he's incredibly dynamic, being the primary ball handler on the Indiana team. And then, but Jokic is just freaking point guard at center.
Jokic for me just hasn't done enough. I think that's the one thing for him.
That's the holdback.
Ricky, who was 11? I don't even know.
For me, I'm going to say a tie. It's either between
campaign.
No, yes. Between
CJ McConnell.
No, let me say it. CP and Joe. So for me, it's either Embiid or CP. I mean, at first I was kind of thinking a 10 of which sixer am I going to put in, but I totally forgot to.
The Sixers have two of the top 12 players in the league.
I was about to say the same thing.
I don't think so.
And then CP in there, I'd probably have CP as the ifto facto 11 if I had to pick. Because we're seeing, he didn't have any help in with the Clippers. But what we're seeing now is, hey, when I got a guy like James Harden, he can go all of 11 and I can help carry this team to victory.
Yeah, and one guy I want to throw out there too is PG-13. I mean, he's been super consistent. One of the best two-way players in the league.
Is he top 15?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's top 15, for me at least. Yeah, maybe you guys can
because you think about it. Guys, I'll throw out, and I'm not saying in any order. CP3, PG-13, if Russ isn't there for me. So, Russ, is there enough guys to put him in the next five after
this list? CP3 is better than Russ?
Wait. Did you say Russ isn't 11? Yeah, so that's the same.
No, I said, in mine, he's out of the top 10.
Oh, yeah,
he's out of the top 12.
But you said CP3 is 11.
I was just saying.
So he's out of the top 12.
No, I was just saying any order. This wasn't my
I'm asking you a question, though.
No, Russ is above PG.
No, is Russ bigger than better than CP3?
Oh no, CP3 is 11. I said.
And then Joe was 12.
All right,
Joe
was 12. Russ is like maybe 13 or best.
All right, Jake. Any final thoughts?
Joel Embiid's better than Ben Simmons. If you don't think that, then I don't think so much basketball.
Will Ben jump him next year? If Ben develops a jumper, will he jump him?
Well, I mean, LeBron and Kawhi are going to help him with that. So, I mean, when we win the NBA title next year, it's going to be harder than that.
Are they going to pick up Kyle Korver to be the shooting coach?
Yeah.
Nah, TJ and JJ's got that covered.
Nice.
Do you think, though, Ben can jump Joe next year? Or do you think it's going to take a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I think if he's in the discussion in his first year, and who knows, next year Embiid could be on a trampoline and hurt his knee again. I mean, who knows with this guy. So,
his own teammate took him out this year.
Yeah, or going down a water slide. We saw him having fun in Atlantis. Dave, any final thoughts?
Not really. I think that we nailed the list for the most part. I think the interesting one is who's going to rise the most next year for me. I put my money on Giannis. Like, he's the scariest person. Yeah. Like, we wanted to crown him early, and I get that because he's something special. But I think, like, get him a head coach. Get him this one offseason, see what they can do. At a sporting cast.
Ben Simmons is going to be the one. Like you mentioned Giannis, it's going to be Ben. He's going to be a lot higher next year. And actually on your guys' list next year.
I think if I'm putting a player from this year's rookie class, I'm putting Don Mitch over Ben Simmons next year. Don Mitch
is going to be in the top 10 next year.
Tyreek Evans 2.0.
Tyreek Evans 2.0. He's like 3 inches shorter.
Yeah, no, but he means like have an all-star rookie year.
Oh, okay. And then, just good first year.
Fall off the face.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this Patreon segment. The camera's dead, but Jake, we want to thank you not only for joining us and giving us a great list and you know having some great banter with us, but also for being a patron. You rock. And also, if you guys want to be like Jake, head over to patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. Also, don't forget to rate this 5 stars on iTunes. Also, don't forget to sub. We've been seeing massive growth, and we just want to see this thing keep growing. But for Dave Oster, for Ricky Wimmer, I'm Sean Anderson. Also, for Jake, again, don't forget to check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. That will do it, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.